What's up, guys? Welcome back to the People in Tech podcast. And this is the first tech report on the show. I promise you guys more content. So really what to expect for this episode, I'm just going to talk about things happening in tech, give you my two cents, and then keep it moving. Let's get into it.
Are you listening?
So for the first thing I wanted to talk about today, you got to talk about TikTok. Come on. You guys know I'm a TikTok fan. We got to talk about it. And what has caught my eye, TikTok now offers a feed dedicated to science and tech. If you guys didn't know, TikTok is owned by ByteDance. ByteDance is a China-based company. America and China don't really get along like that. Like, we get along because we know we need each other, but like, there's always a little bit of tension between the two of us. And you would hear people like former President Donald Trump try to ban TikTok. Now you're hearing conversations on President Biden trying to ban TikTok. Why does this all matter, right? Well, the reason this one caught my eye is there's a rumor. I don't live in China, so I can't confirm it, but propaganda works sometimes. There's a rumor that if you go to China, you look at their TikTok, not only is it not Addison Rae and Charli D'Amelio and all these girls stealing dances and becoming famous off other people's work, but it's actually focused on STEM. Focus on science, technology, education. It's talking about innovation. It's getting people to do smart things with the idea that the youth is like constantly glued to their screen. And because they are glued to their screen, they rather reward people doing smart things than in America, where we reward videos for dancing, more or less stupidity a lot of the times, not STEM-related things. And there's this whole back and forth on should we ban TikTok. I personally think we're about 1 to 2 presidents away from somebody banning TikTok. And don't worry, because I am working on a competitor. I'm gonna tell you guys about that later. But it's not a competitor to TikTok. It's actually a competitor to OnlyFans. But that's a whole different conversation. But going back to this article, this one to me caught my eye because I think this is like TikTok's way of trying to fight a little bit of that bad PR. Because, look, more or less, they're the entertainment app. People mindlessly scrolling. And one thing you probably noticed is now they've been rolling out features for, like, parents. Because kids have been on TikTok too long. So now there's, like, this whole, oh, you can set a timer for an hour and be like, hey, I've watched enough TikTok today. Now they're saying, hey, we're going to dedicate a whole feed to STEM. And if you've been on recently, some of the newer features is like they have categories like gaming and food. And, you know, I'm just really curious to see what's going to happen over the next pretty much next 12 months, because TikTok, to me, is very, very close to Vine, where, yes, it's popular now. Everybody's talking about it. Is it the number one? I mean, yeah, it's probably most downloaded and stuff. But I could also see it go the route 2 years from now. You're like, remember TikTok? Like, everybody was on that. Now, like, I could see that happening. I you know, I'm not a guru by no means. I can't see the future, of course. But I just think this is really interesting because, like, as you go through this article, let me see here. Launch isn't surprising. Governments and schools are concerned TikTok may harm children and teens to the point where schools are suing the company. So you got a whole bunch of Karens out there saying you're hurting my baby and her education. And look, a STEM feed is supposed to create a positive space for co-learning, inspiration, and enrichment. So it is, again, I'm very curious to see where this falls. I'm actually trying to put out more content, but I'm all about YouTube. So make sure to check me out over on YouTube, guys. Make sure to like and subscribe if you like this content, by the way. I don't know. I don't know. Like, I feel like this is this attempt, like it says, I feel like this is this attempt to kind of go against some bad PR. Let's see what happens. But keep your eye on this because you might see TikTok try to roll out something. It might be like Facebook, where like Facebook was just for like college and high school kids. And then like our parents are getting on. And then like parents are start sharing articles that were fake, or kids were messing with parents saying, hey, this happened, and parent believed it. And now we're like in this whole like, I try to change my Facebook profile name to my nickname that my family calls me. And Facebook was like, your name isn't that. Can you upload documentation proving your nickname is this? And I was just like, you mother. Anyways, TikTok, STEM, keep an eye on it. I thought this was real interesting. Moving on. You know, I just want to mention this one. Everybody's talking about it, but no one's really talking about what it could be 2-3 months from now. So let's talk about Silicon Valley Bank. You guys know the bank collapsed. Everybody was like, oh crap, what is happening? Look, no one knows what's going on. And if you're a millennial like me, I feel for you, because 9/11 happened, what the F? 2008 happened, what the heck? 2020 happens, pandemic. Like, I know people who, like, after 08, just recovered, just getting to a point where they can do things, just building back up again. Then 2020 happens, people lose their jobs, pandemic hits. Like, some people, pandemic, they great things for. Some people, it's like the worst year in 2 years of their lives. So, we are kind of the generation of uncertainty. We just don't know when and where. Like, the housing market went crazy, and then it's not crazy anymore. Like there's so many things are so uncertain for us that, like, we're just the real risk adverse generation. That's kind of like the trend I want to call out. The reason I wanted to mention Silicon Valley Bank to you guys was simply due to the fact that, if you guys didn't know, this is a startup bank. Like, if, like, when I'm working on my OnlyFans competitor and I needed money, I would probably go to the people who work with Silicon Valley Bank. It worked with startups, it worked with healthcare companies, and I had friends on social media, this shocked me, guys, on vacation, getting texts, getting calls, finding out via Twitter that, look, I might not be able to make payroll. And just remember, like, the trickle-down effect, like, right now we're talking about the government's bailing them out in some regard, making sure their depositors are going to get their money, because, look, there are some people at $10 to $50 million in the bank. Silicon Valley Bank, they made some mistakes. They hedged their bets. They were probably too aggressive, bit them in the butt. Look at them now. I will say, if you didn't know, C-level executives, they got their money. So it could have been, like, it's not like they didn't see it coming completely. Again, not political, but I just want to call it out. Like, they're not, everybody was hurt. Some people got their money and got out exactly how they planned. But look, this is something that we're talking about now, but I don't think people are realizing the impact of this. Like, 3 to 6 months from now, I think there's going to be one of those events that you come back to and you're like, hey, remember when the bank collapsed? Well, that caused this, which caused that, which then caused this, which is now impacting me. So I think this is why it's something you should probably pay attention to. Daddy Elon apparently might be buying it, combining it with Twitter to make the next super powerhouse. I don't know how rich that man is, but I feel like he needs to figure out Twitter first. But hey, who knows? If anybody's going to do it, I guess it's going to be Elon Musk, because when you're the richest man on the planet, more power to you. I'm very curious to see who's going to come in and step up. I've seen one bank, but I guess that's the part I'm not clear on. Like, I've been trying to understand myself, guys. Like, people are buying, like, parts of the bank, but not the whole bank. So just keep an eye on it. This isn't a financial channel, but I will say this is going to have a trickle-down effect, because if startups are impacted, then startup talent is going to be impacted, which is then again going to go into the whole job market. And if inflation is going crazy and we're talking about who's going to be reelected as president in a year or two, I think a lot of this uncertainty, like, I do believe by, like, 2024, 2024 or maybe 2028, I don't know, at some point, whenever we have, like, a president who isn't who's in currently office now and probably isn't Trump either, but we have, like, some fresh blood, I do believe maybe at that point, fingers crossed, who knows, but fingers crossed, I do think that might be a point where you start seeing the economy start picking back up, because you just have people who are hopeful at that point, just because of how society kind of works at times. But keep your eye on this one. That's really what I want to say, because people are not taking this one seriously yet. Moving on. You guys know how to talk about ChatGPT. You know your boy loves ChatGPT. Look, we got ChatGPT up in the bookmark, guys. But the reason I wanted to point this one out, if you haven't used ChatGPT, let me just first say you should get on it now. It's not too late. There's only about 13 million users on ChatGPT right now. And what's kind of crazy to me is people think that's a lot, but, like, there's 7 billion people on the planet. Facebook has 2 billion users. And we just feel like Facebook is getting old, and it's like, my grandma's on Facebook or whatever. Like ChatGPT is, like, in a phase where, like, Facebook came out, what, 2004? So this is, like, 2005. It's not too late. The reason this article is so cool to me is you can now run GPT-level AI on your laptop, on your phone, and a Raspberry Pi. Why is that crazy? Why do I think that's crazy? All right. So let me show you. Let me highlight something real quick here. This piece right here. People have been saying since its launch, they've been frustrated by the AI's model built-in limits, which is crazy to me because ChatGPT does so much shit, like to say it has limits. But like I hear him because, look, your boy I play for GPT Pro. If you guys know. And here, I wanted to show you guys real quick. Let's see. Let's start fresh. So here is a plugin called AI PRM. I don't know what it stands for, but it's pretty much ChatGPT prompts. Now, what I like about this is you'll find a lot of content creators making videos and like, this is prompt engineering, and this is how you train the model to get the results. Look, you can do that. You can also download this plugin. I'm a YouTuber, so I'm going to be like, hey, make me a script on how to make a React Native app to-do list. Like, what are we doing here? Like, this is literally what I used to do. Like, you guys sometimes ask me, Caleb, why don't you put more content? Well, when you're a 9-to-5 employee, you're a 5-to-9 content creator. And when you have two kids and a dog and you're trying to get in shape, you really just got like the few hours every once in a while to put in some time into your craft. But with tools like ChatGPT, you can pretty much become a solopreneur. And once becoming a solopreneur to me is pretty much you run your whole business with no one. And that's more or less what ChatGPT has been able to allow me to do. Been able to write scripts, be able to write more content, be able to plan out things and get more content organized and scheduled and things like that. And again, ChatGPT is only on the web. And people are finding plugins to enhance it on the web. But going back to this article, we're talking about putting it on your phone, putting it on your laptop. If I was a competitor, if I had a million, billion, whatever, if I had money, and I was like, you know what? I'm really sick of Apple being like the top dogs. I want to make a computer that competes with the MacBook Pro. Well, if I'm Microsoft, if I'm Google, I'm putting Google Bard or ChatGPT into my laptop and being like, super, like, take ChatGPT, but put it on steroids. Put more power behind it. Put more RAM, put more storage, put more memory, whatever it is. But like, that is something that can just change the game. Put it on your phone. Like, I have this plugin. Let me show you guys real quick. So there's a plugin to like ask ChatGPT Google questions. You know, like, so I asked, how many users does ChatGPT have? Now, this is Google's answer on the left. But here is ChatGPT's answer. I can ask Google a question. It gives me this answer, but that's it. I can keep asking questions. And this is a plugin built into Google. So not the best example, but I did want to highlight that it's not too late to get into ChatGPT. If you were interested in learning how I've used it to kind of help start a lot of my business ventures with people in tech, Tech Dad, I'm launching a course coming soon. Let's leave. Actually, there's a link in the bio. What am I saying? There's a link in the description. Just click on that. Give me your email. I'll let you know when the course comes out. But yeah, man, ChatGPT is crazy to me because we got GPT-4 coming out soon. Raspberry Pi, don't even get me started. Like, you got kids 10 times smarter than me, literally making Iron Man Jarvis. You can make a BB-8. You can literally do anything. Like the fact that we have it available, we can put it on devices now. Because remember, ChatGPT is cool because it's through a text interface. I can go on the web, ask a question, it gives me text and response. But people want videos, people want images, things like Midjourney and, you know, DALL-E, right? Like, these things are out there, but like, people want to take it to another level. So ChatGPT, GPT-4, the fact that you can now run some of these things on devices without the internet, next level. Moving on, this kind of dives into AI a little bit more, but shout out to Forbes, shout out to Rashi here, Forbes staff, you know where it's at. But look, Grammarly generative AI feature will soon be able to write, interpret, and edit text. So, like I've said before, AI is disruptive. Every 10 years, you're going to get some type of technology that's going to change the game. AI is one of them. Every once in a while, you get a technology that you think is going to change the game, and it gets confused, and it's like, that wasn't it. crypto, Web3, could be, maybe, not sure yet, but the hype isn't really there like it used to be. But AI, at least, when I'm seeing Grammarly talk about these types of features, this is crazy to me, because look, I can, y'all don't believe me, but like, let's do a new chat. And let's say, explain what a software engineer does about 1,000 words and make it funny. Use sport. Use basketball analogies. Do you guys see the power here? Like, this is literally a blog post. Again, I know some of you have seen this. This is not something new, but like, I'm really just trying to highlight that, like, people are going to ChatGPT to do this. So people like Grammarly, like, it's still going. It's still going. An entire article, 1,000 words. At the end, isn't what it's all about. Whether you're on court or in front of a computer screen, it's about working together and achieve something amazing. Like, look, Grammarly smart. Media companies, my company, like Forbes, New York Times, Business Insider. Here's another one that's been, shout out, Notion. You guys know, so my AI course coming out soon is going to be built in Notion. And you guys know I love Notion. I think it's one of the best tools out there, whether you're a entrepreneur, whether you're just trying to make a to-do list. It's like, again, Notion, if you want to sponsor us, hit me up. But really, they have AI built into the tool. Grammarly trying to build it into the tool. So these media companies and these content management systems having AI built in, I think it's going to be the new norm. And really, if you think AI is going to replace you, that's not going to be the case. It's not there yet. Maybe 10, 15 years from now, pretty much we have to get to a point where we call super intelligence to really get concerned there, but we're not there yet. But if you're an entrepreneur, if you're a writer, you're a content creator, this is just your Jarvis. This is your super assistant. So you don't need to hire a virtual assistant. You have it right here. So keep this in the back of your mind. You're going to see more companies build AI into their tool. Also, be careful, because everybody's claiming they got AI. And some companies have been around for a minute and they don't have AI. They don't. They think that they're just using AI. They're saying they have AI, but they don't really have AI. So just keep that in the back of your mind, because every company is trying to claim AI these days. All right, moving on. Talked about this one enough. Talked about, I know you're sick of AI. Caleb, stop. You get it. You love it. All right. Ooh. Shout out to my boy Boris, who wants a four-day work week, and he's been talking about it ever since I met him. But here, Congress wants to make a 32-hour work week U.S. law. Now, I don't want to get political on this show, but if you guys didn't know, capitalism is all about making money with resources, right? And then some argue socialism is supposed to benefit people. Let's just keep it simple right now. The 40-hour work week is not capitalistic. It's more socialist. And meaning, like, if it was up to businesses, they would have you work Sunday through Saturday. No question. Get up at 6. Don't leave. Only reason we let you go home at 6 is because we think you need to eat and, you know, get some rest so you can go back and work the next day. The 5-day work week was pretty much something rolled out to... The idea was, hey, like, they actually work better if they give them 2 days off. So let them Monday through Friday, give them a weekend, and then we can repeat. Fast forward to today, that's just how we've always done it. And the reason I think this one, I had to bring this one on, guys, because what's crazy to me is what people don't get. Is something like this is a belief system. So if you would ask people pre-pandemic, hey, could your company be remote? You would literally have people be like, impossible. Could never happen. Not in a million years. Well, 6 months go by. Hey, you have to be remote. Guess we got to figure it out. That is legitimately what happened. Like I've even talked to people. Like, people, in my opinion, like, we can self-sabotage. And again, I'm not going to make this a whole philosophical point. But I've literally been part of teams where, like, when the manager, before pandemic, hey, we would love if you could work remote. I literally had people be like, I don't want to work remote. I don't want it. Like, take it away. And it's like, just because it's a benefit that you might not use doesn't mean you want to throw it away completely. There's no one stopping you from working overtime and doing 40 hours. This is going to be a bill that just says, hey, this 32 hours is a requirement, 3-day weeks. Me personally, I mean, I think it's not enough. I think we should have 3 days work, 4 days off. I'd be very curious to see what people actually do in the world if you do that. Some of you are already watching and you're like, how's that going to work? Because you don't know the how doesn't mean it's not possible. A lot of the things that happen in society, just because you can't see it doesn't mean it can't happen. But you literally have people sabotage themselves and tell you, I need to work 5 days a week to be productive. When the reality is, we know going to the coffee machine, going to get water, going out for lunch. I mean, are you really working 40-hour weeks? The pandemic changed everything. And I think for a lot of jobs, this will work. Is it going to work for everybody? No. But that's not even an argument, because you can even say people who work 40-hour work weeks now doesn't work for everybody. Because there's some of us who are 9-to-5, Monday through Friday. I know some of us who work 40 hours, but it's not Monday through Friday. It's Monday, Thursday, Wednesday. But, you know, like, it's all over the place. You know, like, hey, I got 10 hours here, some hours here, and 2 hours on a week. Like, it really depends on what you do. So, like, we need to stop thinking what currently works is perfect. And really need to be open to the idea that something different could be better. The reason I think it's not going to pass, unfortunately, I know. I'm sorry. You guys are like, dude, Caleb, I like what you're saying. It's gonna work. I really hope it does. But I think this aspect, it creates a happiness of humankind. I would love if businesses would believe that, because that sounds great. But this really needs to say, let's see here, have a little fun. I always like to do things like this really needs to say, increase the money in my pockets. Because if it don't make dollars, it don't make sense. Let's just keep it a buck, guys. Like, this is like, that's gonna be the pitch. If you like, you're gonna have lobbyists, you're gonna have millionaires, billionaires do everything, because remember, they're in control, making us work Monday through Friday. So having something like this is only going to work if we can show them, which we have some data, we have some companies, we have some test reports that show, you know, shorter work weeks lead to more productivity. And then whatever the rebuttals are, well, what about companies that are 24/7? Okay, well, not everybody has to work the same 4-day work week. Maybe you have some Monday through Thursday, and then you have Tuesday through Friday. I don't know. Like, you can make it work. It's not about it couldn't work. You have to believe it could work. And not only do you have to believe it, you have to convince people who are making money with how things are now that it's going to increase money in their pockets. And the last thing I kind of want to highlight, and so I heard Meta's having more layoffs. This whole idea of fake work. The one thing I'll say, when I worked at a company, I don't want to shout out which one it was, but I have been at companies where, like, the company's great, you have this great culture, you're doing these great things, and then, like, it's not clear on what you should be working on. Like, you're literally, like, fighting for work. And, like, my advice to you is, if you're working at a fan company now, you're working at any tech company, and, like, you don't have a clear project on your roadmap, but you still have a job, like, I would probably be a little bit concerned. Because, like, these companies are so large, and the reason they're laying off thousands of employees is because they more or less are playing this game of, like, I want to get all the top people so the other people don't get them. It's truly greed. Like, it's greed and competition, and people get real petty when it comes to it. I don't like the idea of people not doing fake work, but I do think when times are tough, like, you really just sit there and you evaluate what's a necessity and what isn't. But I would say, people who are going through a layoff right now, network. Please reach out to me on LinkedIn. Reach out to each other in the comments. Like, literally, just, like, put yourself out there. Because it's not that you don't, like, look, you worked at a big company. You know, you saw how they do it at the top level. At the same time, it probably wasn't perfect either. So just keep that in the back of your mind. But, hey, look, this is episode 1, Tech Report. We talked about a few different things. Let me know what you guys think of the format. Again, no major editing. This might throw an intro on this guy. Make sure you go like this video. Subscribe, of course. Go check out techdad.pro. Free 30-day trial. I'm losing my voice at this point, so it probably means I should wrap it up. But like, appreciate all you guys. This is going to be happening once a week, unfiltered, talking about tech. But thanks for the support. Love you guys. Later.